podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise. Hi, Denise.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm fine, Denise. I'm fine. I'm recovering. I'm still recovering from Afropunk. I'm an old woman.
All the flyness.
All the lack of sleep.
I
did not sleep. I slept like what? 3-4 hours on average a night? That ain't nothing. I'm an 8-hour sleeper.
That's because you wake up and you do yoga. That's because you balance and centered. That's what's up.
Well, let's talk about who's not balanced and centered. Let's start with Bobby Brown.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about me for a minute. Okay. I was like, oh, she's going to go there. That's what's going down. Okay.
So Bobby Brown, ahead of the release of his memoir, Every Little Step, has been on the media trail, right? And he sat down with a 2020-style interview with ABC News Robin Roberts. And he talked mostly about Whitney, because Whitney is what keeps Bobby relevant. And he talked about how he believes that Nick Gordon is behind both Whitney Houston's death and Bobby Christina, his daughter's death. Now, I'm going to say this. I believe that, because I don't really believe in conspiracy theories, but Whitney been doing drugs a long time. And he talked about that, too. He said, I didn't have anything to do with Whitney getting on drugs. And that's true, because I have read Natalie Cole's autobiography, and she even talked about Whitney doing drugs in the 80s. But anyway, that's besides the point. I believe him. I believe that whole Nick Gordon conspiracy theory. I really do. But he didn't only do a 2020-style interview with Robin Roberts. He also gave Us Weekly, of all people, of all outlets, an exclusive
journalism.
He gave him an exclusive interview. Did I mention that he's coming out with a book called Every Little Step? Okay.
Which is a great title.
I'm just trying to make sure I mentioned that. Ahead of this book release, he talked to Us Weekly to tell them to confirm the rumors that Whitney Houston was bisexual and did have a sexual or romantic, however you want to call it, relationship with her best friend, Crawford. What was her first name? Robin?
Oh, Robin.
Robin Crawford.
I was like, not Joan. Don't do it.
Robin Crawford. So now there's been mixed reactions to this. A lot of people are really excited to hear the rumors confirmed, this, that, and the other. And other people have been like, let the woman rest in peace. She did not, you know, give this information while she was still alive. It's not for Bobby to offer up in her death. Where are we now? 4 years after her death? And not only that, he got a book coming up. Have I mentioned it? It's called Every Little Step.
You are a mess with that name. You got something against that name. That was a great song. So many good memories. Look, I believe everything that Bobby is saying. He has absolutely no incentive to lie. Even for book sales, I don't really think he would. I'm not a Bobby fan because of what of a wreck of a human being he turned out to be.
It's his prerogative.
Mm-hmm. It's his prerogative. But yeah, he's a cautionary tale. He's the Chris Brown of the future, right? Like, I mean, like, he is who he is. And here he is living on with his regrets and his truth. Let him do it. And of course, right? If you're bisexual.
And your mama is Sissy Houston.
And your mama is Sissy Houston. What you gonna do? You came up singing in the church. What you gonna do? I want to hear from Robin. She's still alive, ain't she?
Of course, Robin's still alive.
Somebody need to pay her some money and get that woman to talk.
But I believe Robin is more loyal than Bobby. She was the true partner, most definitely. Even with the ugly public breakup that they had, and that's what I'm gonna call it, because it looked like a breakup to me back in the day. She never called Whitney out of her name. You know, even when Wendy Williams tried to come for Whitney. Whitney was real clear, like, you're going to leave Robin's name out your mouth, right? So, like, they had their big blowout, unfortunately, but it seems like they had a real understanding of how they wanted to treat each other. I don't think it's right. I'm sorry. You say you believe everything Bobby says. I believe everything Bobby is saying. I don't believe it's right, though, for him to out Whitney in this way.
I think it's absolutely fine. If you're living with a partner who has another relationship with another person, they dead and gone 4 years, you talking about your life. Do what you need to do. I mean, that's your truth. Bobby lived through that. I mean, it's not like Whitney was single and fucking Robin.
Well, she was. She'd been with Robin longer than she had been with Bobby.
Exactly, but for a nice chunk of that, she was with Bobby, wasn't she? If I were roll up on someone and a big part of our relationship is that they cannot accept their sexuality, and therefore I am either wittingly or unwittingly in a polyamorous relationship, and I have to go through whatever changes I have to go through to adjust to that. The relationship's going to undergo some changes to adjust to that. I have a right to write a series of books. I will write chapter 1, 2, 3, part 3, 4, and 7. I'm going to write, look, I'm going to have ghostwriters fill in the blank.
Wow. Okay. You saying it's his truth. Let me ask you a question then. Mm-hmm. His sister wrote a book way back when, mm-hmm. going on hearsay from Bobby, talking about when they would get high.
Okay.
Whitney was always very interested in having sex with women. And so it would wind up being these orgies, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how she outed Whitney way back when. Is that okay? That's not her truth. That's Bobby's truth.
That isn't her truth. That's just some old National Enquirer or TMZ type situation. I mean, like, come on.
Okay.
That's that. A trusted source. That's what that is. But look, you know, if it becomes clear to me that my partner is struggling with a queer sexuality, and because of that queer sexuality, I'm going through changes, our relationship is going through changes, that then becomes my truth.
Okay, so but what's the point of it? Does it change anything? Does it change
a massive anything? Point of it? I mean, not what we're does looking
it,
at
it's confirmed. We all knew it. Look at Robin. Robin ain't nowhere in the closet. Just look at Robin. Come on, Robin. Mm-hmm. She in the closet. She shared a closet with Queen Latifah. She look.
Gorgeous. It has a massive impact because so many people loved Whitney Houston. And so and here you Sissy gonna go back on and be like, Sissy isn't saying my daughter wasn't gay so much as she is saying, if my daughter was, I would not accept it. Mm-hmm. And Claire, that's wonderful for her to say that because it's true. And because I believe that it caused a lot of anguish for Whitney Houston. We always hear these stats about how bisexual people have worse outcomes in terms of drug addiction, partner abuse, all kinds of things, than even in some cases, trans people. We're on the very, very margins of queerness. That being the case, we don't also have a lot of stories that we can point to because there's so much invisibility that surrounds bisexuality. People are so ready to say, they just had an experience. They were just misread. We don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think, at least in some ways, it's a bit helpful for the trans community to have these really clear instances of trans people that are misgendered after death and whatever. So you can at least account for it. It's so hard to account for bisexual people. Mm-hmm. So hard. So to have an example of all of the statistics we talk about, it's so great. I'm really sad that it destroyed Whitney's life, along with other things, of course. I mean, but that anguish destroyed her life and led to just a downward spiral for the entire family.
Right. Well, I'm still a huge Whitney fan. She's attached to so many of my precious memories from childhood. And New Edition is too, to be honest. Bobby, not so much, but New Edition. Okay, I'm a let it stand, as you've put it, but wait, I don't know that I'm completely on board with Bobby.
I need some statement of facts from you. I need some statement of facts. No, I need some position points. So you are against outing in all circumstances.
I am against this form of outing. One, Whitney has no say in it. Mm-hmm. Whitney is deceased. I think we have to be very careful how we honor people who have gone before us. Two, even though I believe the words coming out of Bobby's mouth, Bobby in this interview with Robin Roberts was talking about a ghost mounted him, okay? Robin was like, Bobby, now we all know you've struggled with substance abuse. He said, no, I wasn't like that. I wasn't high. A ghost mounted me. So the credibility of this whole interview gets real shaky when things like that come up. It feels like
mounted him for sexual purposes.
Yes.
Ooh, Bobby.
Yes.
Oh,
so so I just feel like we have I don't know that his intentions are pure, right? I feel like this could be a ploy to just push book sales, and I do think that's a problem.
Of course it is.
I think that's a big problem.
But it could be both, right? It could be the truth and it's going to push book sales.
Of course. And then I also, I'm 100%, I don't have like a stance of, you know, you have to come out or you you know, you don't have to come out. But I understand that everyone has their own process of coming out. And I think it should be left to them if they do it or not. Right. And so, yeah, Whitney never did that in this way. So I feel like, you know, maybe she was out in her private life. Plenty of people are out in their private lives and feel no need to comment on it. To
the fact. Latifah. Mm.
You know, heterosexuals don't have to come out. That's what most people say. Right. So, yeah, I think this one is problematic.
I think you would feel differently if Bobby Brown was a known abuser and if the genders were switched. I think a lot of people would feel very differently if the genders were switched.
No,
Liberace never came out in his life, and then he died. And then 4 years later, his wife talked about being his beard, right? Like, it would be like, okay.
Look, there's a whole movie about his gayness and that he more than likely died AIDS.
There was a big if you never came out. Right? Like, so come on. It's a big if.
No, it's not about a man or woman. It really isn't for me. It's about specifically people having the right to make that choice. And I am one of those people in this big community of letters that believes everyone has the right to make that decision for themselves.
I also believe that when you're no longer here, people will talk about you.
Of course.
And they will talk about the ways that you impacted their life.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
That's going to be what it is. I mean, okay. I can't tell my partners, no, I've never really had a partner like straight out lie on me one time. But, you know, most of them are not straight up lying. I wouldn't tell the story the way they tell the story. But the basic facts, statements of facts are there. And that's going to have to be what it's going to be. I can't control that narrative.
Of course. But what I'm saying is, why is this narrative such a big part of his book? And it's supposed to be his memoir.
Is Whitney, as you said.
Of course, they were married for 14 years. I get it. I get it. Anyway, I just wish he were talking about other things, you know.
Like what? What else Bobby got to talk about you interested in, huh?
How to get yourself his up? Struggle. His struggle, his path of having 18 kids.
Ooh, no, 18.
I don't know how many kids he has. He has a lot of kids. Look, he is remarried. He has two kids with his new partner. He has another one on the way. Whoa. He has other kids. Mm. Bobby Christina, may she rest in peace. Like, you know, he got a lot of kids. Maybe he could like write a memoir like Between the World and Me for people like Chris Brown who need his guidance.
No. See, that's the thing about Uncle Bobby. Uncle Bobby ain't reformed. He's still him, but he him with a pot belly and some arthritis. Okay, he's still that same dude, but you know he got some lower back pains. I mean, you know.
Hey, he's still touring with New Edition. He's still doing it. He's still making it.
Bobby, make your money.
Making money. So in other news, this week, a couple of people celebrated birthdays. I think the most famous person who celebrated a birthday this week was Denise.
Oh, snap.
Uh-oh. Happy belated birthday, Denise.
Tell people about Zodiac, the most discriminated against Zodiac sign in the universe. Besides yours, of course.
For good reason. Y'all have surrounded me. I feel like I'm drowning. Anyway, then the governor of Minnesota declared Prince's birthday Prince Day. What a beautiful thing. We celebrated. A lot of other people celebrated. I celebrated by watching a whole bunch of YouTube clips that I was surprised haven't been taken down yet. That's how you know Prince is gone.
I know, right?
Because YouTube is blowing up.
Prince was the YouTube troll.
And also, BET has announced who will honor Prince. And they said they're not done yet. They said among others. So they have announced Janelle Monáe, Deanne The Roots, and Sheila E. Yes.
Okay. Yes. They need a little bit more old in that new, but okay.
Yeah, but they got Sheila E., right? So
Vanity already died, right? So
Vanity passed away just this year. Mm-hmm. So what they did say, though, is they're going to be doing homages spread throughout the show, and they will include more performers. This was just the first act that they've announced in a press release. So that's absolutely exciting. Mm-hmm. Anthony Anderson and Tracee Ellis Ross will be hosting. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. That's far cry from Luda and Sierra. But okay. It's a far cry. That's a far cry. Okay.
You don't watch Black-ish. These two are great.
I do follow her on Instagram.
Okay.
So I'm saying it's an upgrade.
It is an upgrade. Yeah. I'm just saying like. Anthony can get on my nerves. I had to actually unfollow him on Instagram. But I love them together. I think they have a great energy. What was also unique is that the governor did this after the autopsy report came out showing that Prince did die of an overdose, which truly hurt my heart. That means he had been struggling with
pain
for so many years, which most people attribute to high heels, jumping off speakers, dancing a lot, all the things that he was known for. But I just wanted to say happy birthday to you. In our second segment, oh my goodness. Whew. It has been a week. It has been a crazy week. It has been a week that I've even taken it to my dreams. The word being sexual assault. So I'm going to start with a story that maybe is lesser known. A wonderful feminist professor named Sarah Ahmed, who is or was a professor at Goldsmiths, actually resigned from her university post in protest over the alleged sexual harassment of students by staff. Now, Sarah Ahmed was not only just a professor of feminist studies, she was the director of the Center for Feminist Research at Goldsmiths. And she said that there had been 6 inquiries into 4 members of staff at the institution, but no public acknowledgement. And she felt like she could no longer serve in her position with integrity as these sexual harassments continue with no consequence. Mm-hmm. Then we have, of course, the big story of the week, an ex-Stanford swimmer by the name of Brock Turner. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I almost think it's great that he got the sentence that he got because we wouldn't have heard about this story otherwise. Mm-hmm. White dude, all-American boy, Brock Turner, on his way to be a great swimming athlete for the USA. On, I believe, January 17, 2015, he is caught behind a dumpster humping a woman from a far too Swedish student's see what's happening. They can't quite figure out what's happening. They see he's moving. They see the person he's lying on top of is not. They go to intervene. Brock runs away. They are athletes. They were on their bike. They were able to tackle him, call the police. The police comes, and so on and so forth. Brock Turner is convicted of 3 counts of sexual assault. And, you know, without going into the explicit details of the assault, it's very clear it was a unanimous decision by the jury.
The evidence was strong.
It was really clear, you know, the two Swedish guys, they were important witnesses because they saw it. And his...
It was very clear.
It was cut and dry. So his father, Brock Turner's father, decides to explain why he believes his son should not get a severe sentence. He goes on to say that he used to buy ribeye steaks and he used to have to hide the chips. And now his son is so plagued with distress that he only eats to sustain himself. And he said any time in jail would be a steep price to pay for 20 minutes of action.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So that was his father's bit. The actual victim gave a very long...
Clearly a Stanford student. Not to say that, you know, other universities don't bring it.
I don't know. She's no longer a student.
I'm just saying she's brilliant. She's super articulate.
Very articulate.
Got all the connections and
wrote, definitely link to her words so that you can read them yourselves. But she wrote a very powerful statement that she read that Brock Turner had to listen to, that the judge had to listen to
while chewing gum.
And yet the judge still felt like sending the let me also add, the district attorney said send him to jail for a minimum of 2 years. He could have gotten up to 14 years for what he was convicted of. Nope. The judge said, I feel like any type of sentencing to jail would severely impact this boy's life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send him to county jail for 6 months.
Wow.
Most people have said he will probably only stay for 3 months for 3 counts of sexual assault. Now, before everyone gets angry, I would like to add this one bit of information. Only 3 out of 100 rapists spend 1 day in jail. 3 out of 100. That is
not because of this reason. I think that's a misleading. No. They put that out saying that Brock Turner got more than 97% of rapists. And I think that is a misleading statement.
It's not
97% of rapists that are convicted and sentenced. No, Brock Turner got more than 97% of rapists because most of that 97% are never, ever even charged with, because women see the writing on the wall wall and are not going to put themselves through it. That's why. So I think it's misleading to say, okay, he's getting more than other rapists, because they're in a totally different ballgame. If you've raped and never been caught, that's a totally different scenario, which is the case that of most rapists, because of untested rape kits and all variety of manner of reasons, lack of reporting, people botching the reporting process, people botching evidence, people botching interviews, all kinds of things.
I'm not 100% sure about that. I'll have to go look at it again, because the dark number would make the number that they've quoted even higher, because 68% currently is the dark number of rapes that go unreported. I think it would be very hard then to say that 3 out of 100 rapists, if you're talking about a dark number that's unknown. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Point is, I'm sorry.
Okay, anyway, doesn't matter. Before we get to the technicalities of statistics,
mm-hmm.
The point is, somehow the 23-year-old victim and the things that she will have to carry with her the rest of her life, that impact did not matter to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
The severe impact of a punishment of the man serving time for the crimes that he's been convicted of committing, that seemed to be more important to the judge. There has been a petition started. Yeah, there has been a petition started to remove him. I would like to add, and I'm going to throw the conspiracy theory out there, he was the captain of the lacrosse team at Stanford. I bet if we went digging,
mm-hmm.
we might find some circumstances.
Clearly, he sees himself in this.
We might find some circumstances that aren't right. And he is overseeing a new case currently that it's a misdemeanor, stolen property. And several jurors have asked to be excused because they don't want to work under him. So it's already having an impact on his work. There's a petition to have him removed. He just started a new 6-year term. If some of you don't know, many judges in the U.S. are elected officials. But what is all the uproar? Oh, also good news. USA Swimming has said he is banned for life. He will never swim for the U.S. So that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are getting it right.
Well, yeah, Stanford expelled him.
Right.
Stanford police did most of what they could do except for release his mugshot. They wouldn't do that.
That wasn't up to Stanford. That was up to Santa Clara. But that has been released now.
Okay. There was a lot of like, who's it up to? Who's it up to? Not me. I don't know. You. When it's a black person, they figure that shit.
Real quick.
No
matter who's up to.
Do you want that as a PNG? High resolution? What do you need?
Yes, all the mugshots have been released now. But what's the takeaway?
I think the best breakdown of it is that sexism, is that thing that pulled out the sexism, racism, and the privilege, right? Mm-hmm. That one quote that said, sexism is this judge prioritizing the safety of this man over the safety of his victim. And racism is, I forgot. So, but it's all racist. Racism is everywhere. Racism is in your cereal. Racism. And they said, and of course, you have privilege if you can't see either one in this case, if you look at this instance and don't see either sexism or racism here.
Mm-hmm.
Racism is that the media is describing him as an athlete instead mm-hmm. of as a criminal.
Right.
They're going to hone in. I mean, like, look, if I burn down a house, people ain't going to zoom in on my wonderful Lego collection.
Mm-hmm.
Lego sculptorist has an off day, burns down an entire city block. Like, that's not how it's gonna look.
No. So, well, I mean, the thing is, what Brock and his father have said is, this is the consequence of drinking culture mm-hmm. on college campuses, and the unfortunate result is sexual promiscuity.
Promiscuity is not the same as assault. Mm-hmm. Then they don't even understand what rape is, right? That's like me saying, look, I killed him by beating him to death because drinking culture, right? And I was drunk, and therefore, I mean, like, that's not an excuse when you drive drunk. That's mm-hmm. not an excuse when you do anything else drunk. But somehow it's an excuse when you rape drunk, and you get to call rape not rape because you were drunk, bitch. Please. He needs to go to prison. And there's a congressman in California that works with sexual assault victim. He's a grandpa too. And he was saying that it's actually a good thing that they put it in appeal, because in appeal, they can actually overturn your sentence.
Yes.
And give you some real shit.
Right.
And jurors are protesting this judge by refusing to stand under him. At least 10 jurors have refused to sit on cases with this judge, which means that if...
I just mentioned that, but okay.
I understand that, but I'm going with it. But I'm talking implications, boo-boo.
Okay.
Help me out.
Okay.
This means if this happens in mass, mm-hmm. that this judge will be somehow impeded from actually even doing his job. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, that would be beautiful, because even before a recall campaign, they can make it so that nobody else has to deal with what the victims, what this particular victim had to go through. This judge has done this kind of thing before.
Yes, that has come out.
Before him, where a bunch of teammates and an athletic college, a lot of the things were similar.
Right.
Except it was a gang rape in this case.
Yes.
And the victim sues for civil damages. Mm-hmm. And the judge made it permissible for photos of her at a party a year later having a good mm-hmm. time
right.
to be admitted.
Mm-hmm. And so she lost the case.
She lost the case. And because, you know, rape victims are not allowed to have a fucking good time ever again.
Ever again. It's done.
Oh, this judge.
Because everyone gets raped? To decide. Everyone has.
He empathizes a little too much with rapists. Who the fuck has he raped? I need to excavate his basement. Who's in his basement?
That's what I said.
This bitch sounds like Silence of the Lambs.
If we dig a little bit, we will find some skeletons in that closet.
Dude is talking about it puts the lotion on its skin. I know it. I know it when the lights go down. You know what I'm saying? This dude twisted. I don't have any evidence, but he needs at least 6 months in jail.
Mm-hmm. You know, and there were plenty of people who came out. One of the athletes in California, he was on his way. It was really clear he was going to wind up in the NFL. And someone falsely accused him of rape.
And he got 6 years.
He got more than that. But because the person after several years came out and confessed that she had made it all up, he was released early. But of course, all dreams and hope of that NFL career were dashed because it was too late. It was too late. He's too old now. He's been in jail, whatever. So what's interesting is that this judge has so much sympathy for this white male All-American swimmer. And his victim was also white, a white woman. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the question has to be asked. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, if this would have been a black dude, he wouldn't have hesitated to give him 14 years.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. And one of the things that someone brought out was that, yeah, so he's an All-American athlete. He's academic achievement, blah, 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 zitty, blah. Mm-hmm. That is every Stanford student.
Right.
So what are you saying? you are saying that Stanford students can't commit rape?
Right.
I mean, like, that's basically what you were saying. Mm-hmm. When you say something like that. And this dude was chewing gum as he was being sentenced. This dude gives no fucks. No fucks. He's a sociopath. Chewing gum. Could you imagine? Is it because you don't have appetites for ribeye steaks no more? Boo-boo. Like, what the fuck?
Yes. But okay, so, you know, going back again to the very real consequences that Sarah Ahmed has taken to leave her position, to bring attention to sexual harassment. And again, I state, I don't believe we would have found out about this case if he would have been sentenced properly.
Mm-hmm. You're right. If he was sentenced properly, it would just been another, Mm-hmm.
It's such a mixed message for people who experience sexual assault. Like, do you go forward? Because the chances are that it's going to be, you know, you're going to be convicted just like the person who assaulted you. You might actually wind up convicted and they don't, you know, because they go through your personal life. They try to find things. They try to do that with her. But it was just so clear in this case. Like, you could distort it. You know, they asked her, are you having sex with your boyfriend? What did you say on the voicemail? What are you, you know, all these things. Like, what can we possibly learn from this week? And we've talked about sexual assault so much this year. It's just disgusting. I almost wonder, is there any hope, Denise? Is there any hope? I mean, Sarah Ahmed is amazing, right? She's established. She's a professor. She has a blog. She's written books. I have no doubt that she will find a new place to be. But it's such a grand action. And Goldsmith, as far as I've looked it up, they still haven't responded properly to these accusations.
Yeah, I think their response was like, no, also, mm-mm. Mm-hmm. I think that was their basic official response. Which is insufficient. But I think that Goldsmith, and also Goldsmith has this reputation of being this kind of like liberal haven, right? Like
right.
Aggressive haven.
Right.
So this, you're not talking about, you know, a school that's known for conservative. You're not talking about Billy Bob's Bible School at the South. I mean, you're not talking about that place. But yet and still, they can't respond appropriately. I mean, this kind of trying to make it about, she sound crazy, you know, this kind of thing.
What is it about campus culture that just is like a breeding ground for bad behavior?
Well, it's toxic. At the end of the day, it's toxic. If we were anthropologists and removed ourselves from the scenario and just looked at, okay, so these people who are now, I mean, just to focus on America, because that's what I know best, you know, these people, you know, coddle their kids well into 12th grade. They don't allow them to...
Very true.
Even drink until they're 21. And now they're going to put them in a situation where they have to live independently and rely on their peers to keep them straight and narrow in a culture that has commodified feminism to mean sexual commodification, really. Like how well you consume sex. Because you go, girl, right? Like you give the best blowjobs. You go, right? At the end of the day... has been this kind of like bastardization of a feminist message that a lot of young people have consumed. And so they go out there and they're not really even invested in their own pleasure. It is not pleasurable to drink until you throw up. It is not pleasurable to, you know, act as a sexual repository for unknown partners with unknown STI statuses. It is not pleasurable. Like none of that shit is pleasurable. For 99.99% of the population, everybody got a kink, but I doubt it's pleasurable for most people. At the end of the day, it's about them. It's come full circle. You have just it's just as repressive as when we sent our girls off to refine themselves in hopes that they would catch a decent husband. Right, but instead, like, you don't even get the fucking promise of that. Like, you know, like you're sent out there and you're sent to wolves. Every school that has a Title IX complaint against them should have to put that shit in their brochure. If your child happens to be a girl, there's a 50%, 25% chance that she will be raped on our campus.
Well, Stanford currently has, what was it? They, from their numbers, the statistic is something like there's been a rape every 2 weeks. A rape reported every 2 weeks.
Well, unreported rapes.
Right.
Many more.
Right.
That means there's like
one every week at least. So, you know, it's crazy. It's definitely crazy. I don't know what to say other than I applaud Sarah Achmed for bringing attention to it. And I hope that it doesn't stop with her leaving. I hope that something continues, petitions are signed, that students get active, that they try to make something happen. And I hope that the support that the victim in the Brock Turner case, and she said she felt overwhelmed with all of the support she's received. I hope that it is a way to honor those who, you know, find themselves in similar situations and are contemplating if they go forward or not. I hope that they feel encouraged to know that it can have an impact and continue to help others. In our third segment, my cynic, my beloved Denise. What are you looking forward to? What are you happy about?
Why do you do this to me? I don't even understand. Like, what's the purpose?
I don't know how I'm doing something to you when we have...
Don't give me your psychology stuff. Documents. Don't do that. Don't you do that. Don't you play mind games with me, lady.
It's the same question every week.
I'm looking forward to, I don't know. I don't have to, let me get back to you.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to get back to me.
I'm going to get back to you on looking forward. Look, at least I'm not saying depressive shit. Okay. Give me a break. I'm looking forward to the Prince tribute. How about that?
I'm definitely looking forward to the Prince tribute.
When is it coming out?
I don't know when it will come out. I think they're recording it's something like June 26th, I think is the Sunday. So that's when they're recording. I don't know if it's going to be like a live thing or if it's going to be pre-recorded and they're going to show it another day. But I'm definitely looking forward to that.
So for people that don't know, BET is doing a Prince tribute and they said Janelle Monáe.
We already talked about it at the beginning of the show. But okay. If you want to repeat it.
I'm sorry. I'm not excited about it. I think you need to know again that Janelle Monáe is going to be involved. So I think it's great. So I'm looking forward to that. What are you looking forward to, Cece?
I'm looking forward to Afropunk announcing when the London Afropunk is happening. They said September.
Ish.
They said soon come.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know who wrote that. A Jamaican?
Soon come. You know it is.
But, you know, whatever. I'm going to be here for it. That's what I know. So I'm really looking forward. I even signed up to the mailing list. I was like, I want to be the first to know what's happening. Mm-hmm. I'm going to even submit my band because maybe we going to be the Case the Killer in female version at the opening party, the fancy dress ball. You never know. Mm-hmm. Why not? But there's so many good bands here in London. We might have a lot to compete with. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing when Afropunk is coming to London, when they're going to make that official. What else? Oh, I'm going to see X-Men this weekend, finally.
X-Men.
I'm definitely going to that. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So, you know, this Marvel fan is going to see X-Men because 2017 is going to be a drought year. So got to get my last Marvel movie in before the drought. So to relieve you of your duties, since you obviously have nothing else to contribute, that's all for this week. If you'd like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. You can check out our Periscope from Afropunk. We have a lot of nice videos up for you. And we even have a new Instagram account that's just Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. Until next time, peace out.